You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Yes, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. Yes, you need to read the Bible. And yes, there is more. There's the Holy Spirit. But what he told me, he said, David, God's given you an amazing brain, but you're going to have to get delivered to that brain to get to know God. And then he told me, he said, you know, it's a lot easier for God to steer a car that's moving. Yeah. So he said, like you said, just get out there and get moving.
Steer a car that's
moving. And God will direct us. Even if we're going the wrong way, he can allow U-turns, and that's what happens all the time at the jail. People were heading in the wrong direction, playing on a losing team. And I told them, you guys are blue-chip players, but you're playing on the wrong team. You got a bad coach. You got a loser coach. You need to get on the A team and let God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit teach you how to run the race with confidence.
That's what I thought with Reinhard Bonnke. I thought, why does he have such favor? Because, you know, because he went out and he did it.
That's right. I heard that original story where he had a big guy come. He came in 92, and he did a revival in Stuart, and he did one in Fort Pierce at the football field. And we got a chance to hear him, and he said,
really?
You know, guys, here's what happened. I was the front man getting all these people together for the big evangelists to come to Africa. Well, one time, the guy canceled out on me, and I had all these people. I didn't know what to do, and the Lord said, Reinhard, you're going to be the speaker. Me? I'm a nobody from a nondescript German family.
No.
And God said, you're my man with faith and power for the hour, and the rest was history.
I never knew that.
Yeah, he shared that story with us about how God chooses the foolish. And people said that. Wait a minute. You know, these big-name people said, who are you? Like, what's your family background? And just found him just his dad was a relatively low-profile pastor, but obviously.
He gave me his autobiography. You should read it. It's really thick, though. It's like, you know, one of his 800-page books. But the last time I saw him, he came right here to my studio.
Wow.
And I said, why are you here? He said, I forget what he said. Like, just came to say hi. And then he went off, and then next thing I know, he had cancer, and then he passed. And I'm thinking, why did he come here that day? I'm nobody that he should come to.
Divine appointment.
But why? But I don't
know. Probably imparting something that God had put in him. And, you know, you want to remember, you got to pass that baton on. You know, Paul said, find faithful men that are apt to cheat, apt to preach, that you can pass that gospel message on to. So that's what I'm trying to do in the jail is find these young guys.
You know, I think of myself as being much younger than I am. Are you and I the same age?
I was born in 49, so.
Oh, I was born in 52, so you're two years older than me.
Yeah, my wife was born in 52, so yeah.
Yeah, so 1953. Excuse me, I was born in 53.
Okay.
So you're 4 years older than me. So anyway, what was the point going to be? Oh, what were we just talking about? I got off on that age thing.
Yeah.
What were you just saying about?
Yeah.
I think of myself as being much younger.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, you better wake up. You're officially an old man now. I'm in my 70th year. But I keep thinking, like, I'm young, like there's opportunity. And maybe there is. Maybe I should be thinking. I mean, he didn't use Moses until he was 80. But I got this thing where I want to spend the rest of my days out. Jesus said, why do you work for that which will not last?
Yeah, labor for the meat that will not perish.
Who's the guy that said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose, and then he was spearheaded through his head. Remember that guy?
Mm.
He went down the Amazon? Wife Elizabeth?
Jim Elliot, yeah.
Jim Elliot, and then his wife Elizabeth, who I had the pleasure of meeting, I believe she's passed on now, she said she went down and went down the same river and met the man who killed her husband and led him to the Lord. And they said, after he was born again, he said, when we killed those people, we saw white beings flying in the air, angels.
Mm.
Well, but Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. No matter what you have, car, Rolls Royce, home, mansion, stuff, gold, it's all going to disappear. But this life soon passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, but you're in the center of the fire.
Yes, sir.
You work with the indigent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You work with thieves. Mm-hmm. You work with addicts.
Yep.
You work with people that don't know boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Jail people.
Yes, sir.
That's got to be a wonderful calling.
It's the best fishing hole in town, Rhett.
That's the best fishing hole in town. That's a funny thing, the best fishing hole.
When you're down to nothing,
yes, sir.
God is up to something.
Yeah. I like that.
And
when you're down,
I am telling you, you know what they taught us in chaplaincy school is that truth comes into focus in a crisis. And oftentimes we say, because I have a counseling degree too, that oftentimes in a crisis, it's a teachable moment, that there might have been people that attempted to say things to people and they didn't hear them. But in a crisis, what happens is our defenses are down and we're open. God does his best work in adversity. You think about, when I went to a Full Gospel Businessman, they had like this leadership training thing. You had this big command master sergeant. And he says, guys, there's a common denominator to every one of us that got filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, what? He said, at some point, God had to hit us over the head with a 2x4, didn't he? Something very dramatic had to happen, just like Paul
on the road
to Damascus.
We only grow in the valleys.
That's it. So I look at these guys, every now and then I have to wear a uniform, and I have a lot of gold, a gold cross, gold badge, and some other things that are on there, stars and different things. And I went to this law enforcement appreciation service. It was at St. Paul's AME Church in Fort Pierce, a great, great church. And this little black girl comes up to me and she goes, "Do you lock people up?" I said, "No, honey."
What?
She says, "Do you lock people up?"
Oh, yeah.
I said, "No, honey, I set them free." And she didn't know what to do. She said, "Wait a minute, you're in a uniform and you're letting people out of jail?" I says, "Well, I help them get free on the inside. That's what I do." Because the biggest jails and prisons in life, Red, aren't Rock Road and Department of Correction. They're the ones that people impose within their soul, where they're
sure.
Basically.
Even Emerson said, "We forge the chains that bind us." How many people do you know? And they have a dream, and they say, "Well, in order to do that dream, I got to make money." And then they're 80 years of age, still making money. They got millions, and they're still going at it. And they take a vacation, enjoy life.
Years ago, I heard this fellow who's a very distinguished Christian counselor. He went to Cornell, and his name escapes me, but I never forget what he said. He had this cup, and he said, "This is the cup of our self-esteem, the love we have for ourselves." He says, "Now, what fills our cup?" He said, "You have two choices. You can turn to the creation, people, places, and things, or you can turn to the creator." And most of the people in jail have turned to creation. They've turned to other people. It's amazing how many people in jail have had a significant loss, a death, a relationship or marriage end.
Yeah.
And the pain of all that abandonment, all that rejection, they ran to the medicine cabinet. They ran somewhere. And they self-medicated. And I tell them, listen, instead of turning to people and places and things, turn to God. Because St. Augustine said, "My heart will find no rest till it rests in thee."
You know, the day that I got born again, I was into Eastern religions till I was 29. I got born again. And as soon as the Holy Spirit was inside me, I'm standing there yelling at my ceiling, telling God that I repent and I believe he died on the cross, rose from the dead, and I surrender the rest of my life. Suddenly, I was filled with the holiness of God. I went, "Wow, you're real, you're real." And immediately, before I even sat down in my rocking chair, I remember immediately going, "This is why people take drugs. Drugs are the counterfeit. This is the real McCoy."
That's
right. Then I sat down in my rocking chair and I said, "This is what black folks are talking about." I said, I thought joy and happiness were synonyms. I said, "This is joy. This is joy.
It.
There is." And I was filled with a peace that passes understanding and an effervescent joy. And he stuck with me for a long, long time.
I years ago, had some real dear friends at Abundant Life Christian Center down in Fort Lauderdale, where I grew up. Pastor Rick Thomas, his brother Eric, we were in Key Club together. We played football together. And many years later, Rick just had an anointing on his life, and his church just took off. And two of the fellows that he mentored was Dion, the runaround suit Dion.
Yeah, I met him.
DiMucci, and Wayne Cochran. The devil with the blue dress on, Cochran and the CC Riders. Well, I got to know Wayne. He came up here and did a couple retreats. And I said, "This is, man, this is, can only be God for me to be hanging out with two guys that love God with all their heart, and me too, and we're all in the same space together. Well, anyways, Wayne said he stayed, when he got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, he stayed in Vegas for 7 more years because he said he wanted to witness to all the people, you know, all the showgirls, all the other people in the entourage. And he says, one day I walked in the bathroom in one of these big, you know, centers, and this guy was doing a line of cocaine. And he says, hey, brother, you want to get high? And Wayne said, I'm already high, and what I got is way better than that. And the guy goes, for real, man, you look high. He said, yeah, but I'm high with the Most High, and that's God.
High with the Most High.
Yeah, and I never forgot that.
Do you know what Al Black, the highwayman, okay, he was in prison, and he said that he was addicted to crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know much about that world, but he said crack cocaine is such a strong addiction. It's the worst one. It's worse than heroin. It's worse than cigarettes. Worse than all stuff. And he said this ball of light came into his cell and said, if you're Jesus, get bigger. And it filled the light, filled the whole room. And he said he was instantaneously, and I've heard of this happening many times, instantaneously, totally and absolutely delivered of the addiction.
That's it. Listen, I remember years ago on 700 Club when Ben Kinslow was there.
Ben became a good, good friend of mine. Sat right in that chair many times before he died.
I heard him one time at a Jesus Festival.
I love you, Ben.
So anyways, he and Pat are on a show, and Pat's reading about people that phoned in or wrote in on the prayer line. And he said, this guy said, dear Pat, I just want to thank you that I'm an alcoholic, and I prayed to God, and he set me free from all my addiction to alcohol. So Ben says to Pat, Pat, I understand. How can this guy, he's been drinking for years, and he says a prayer to God, and just like that, he's delivered from alcohol. And Pat says, well, Ben, he might have been an alcoholic for years, and he might have said a simple prayer, but he wasn't praying to a simple God. And God heard that prayer, and he showed up in a supernatural way, and he set that guy free. Now, I have one guy, a good friend of mine, Troy Girardi, you know, and Troy was an alcoholic for years, and then his first wife, Pam, got totally healed of cancer when she was dying up in a hospital in Jacksonville. That sobered Troy up in a New York minute, and he never quit. So when people say, Troy, are you in a 12-step program? He says, no, I'm in a 1-step program. I got Jesus in my life. But you know what? I've gone to 12-step groups. I've got lots of friends there, and it's such a great foundational, because it's really a great discipleship program. But when you think of step one, my life was unmanageable, came to believe a power greater than me could restore me to sanity, turn my life over to the care and control. So I thought, listen, it's all good.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
To the one whose dreams have fallen.